Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios for Fantasy Sports Today.
Look who's back!
You guys notice anything different? Chris got a haircut. No, I'm joking. Yeah,
a little bit of a tan.
A little bit of a tan. Was definitely using some high SPF sunscreen. I was told there's a hole in the ozone layer. Wasn't trying to mess with any melanoma or anything like that. But yeah, I came back. I debated at one point at the airport. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I want to come back.
Are you telling guests or viewers, for the 3 weeks, Ashley's still in Australia. She may not come back.
There's a strong possibility. There. We didn't discuss it, but you know me well enough to know that maybe I wasn't going to show face again. But I missed you guys, and I'm definitely glad to be back. And we have a great show. I'm excited for the guests today.
Yeah, in time for RotoWire week.
Yeah, RotoWire week, because RotoWire is celebrating their 20th anniversary. So we're going to talk to RotoWire president Peter Schenke, and then we're also going to talk to Dr. A of Inside Injuries, because there's a lot to talk about, actually. A lot of big name players are dealing with some injuries that are of major concern, and then on the other side, minor concern. But how minor is it? Well, Dr. A is going to let us know. And we're going to start, though, with Tyler Ulis from the Phoenix Suns. And I don't know if you guys saw the Celtics-Phoenix game yesterday. It was a great game. It came down to the wire. Tyler Ulis, Isaiah Thomas, it felt like you were watching grade 8 basketball just because of their stature, but definitely not their skill set. And Ulis drilling the game-winning three with time winding down after Thomas turned it over.
Yeah, after Thomas turned it over. And if you watch the clips, if you just type in Ulis into Twitter, you'll see just a ton of highlights from him, not only yesterday, over the past couple games. And you just hear the Suns broadcast just laughing at the Celtics like, oh. That was a bad way to lose. There's not a lot going right in Phoenix, but there's something happening now with this squad. Tyler Ulis is getting a lot of playing time. Alan Williams is getting a lot of playing time. Three straight games with double-doubles. Four double-doubles in his last five games. Guys like Tyson Chandler are not even seeing the floor right now. So it's like this youth movement. We know that Phoenix is basically the worst team in the NBA right now.
No disrespect.
With no disrespect, I mean, the Nets still, I guess, have that tag. But that first pick isn't going to go to them. So Phoenix is going to get a solid pick this season. But for Alan Williams, these are the guys that could actually make a difference, actually, and help you win a fantasy basketball championship. People are hanging on to, like, the Chandler Parsons of the world. These guys, these big-name players who are not getting a lot of playing time and they're not doing anything. It's okay to drop these players that, you know, normally you wouldn't drop 2-3 months ago.
Sure.
Now it's crunch time. You can drop them. You can get away with adding a Ulis who just keeps putting up points and can contribute with assists. This is a kid that they want to see what he can do. And so far, I mean, he looks pretty good. He's all over the place with some shots and some shuffling with the steps.
He's definitely wiry. Yeah. And he's been good. And you mentioned with Tyson Chandler out, it's been Williams. That's been great over the last six games. Almost 15 points, nearly 10 rebounds on average, shooting 63%. And then Ulis, 5.5 assists in the last six games. And, you know, they have Devin Booker, Marquise Chris. So it seems like the time for Phoenix to just see what you got in your young guys before you decide to make plans to improve over the offseason. Yeah. I like your plan to kind of, we talk about this all the time, pick up guys from bad teams because they're going to get free run of the court. They're going to get to do whatever they want. And they get a lot of times to play against the second string and the second tier players of their opponents off the bench for a large majority of the time if they're going to get blown out.
You're right. And for Williams, the minutes, 22, 24, 30, and 31, so it's gone up every time. Just keep an eye also on the Celtics, the Boston Celtics. You know what? Avery Bradley's been, you know, out of the lineup for a long time, mostly out. He comes back. There was never a plan for him to play both back-to-back, so yesterday the Celtics played, and then today they play the Clippers, and he had planned just to play one of those games, but he's dealing with a hamstring strain. Actually, it's on both hamstrings, he says, is fairly sore, but he does plan to play tonight. And then there's Al Horford, an elbow injury. He hurt it blocking a shot, I think, a couple days ago, and then he didn't play yesterday. He's got a sleeve on his shooting elbow. He did say there's no timetable for return, but it doesn't seem all that significant. But maybe Jaylen Brown is somebody people just need to keep an eye on because he's getting more play lately.
Sure.
And if Bradley misses more time, and that's certainly a big possibility, maybe Jaylen Brown Brown can come in and help you out. Again, another decent ad.
I'm still weary of anyone else on the Celtics that's
it's
not named Isaiah
somebody.
Thomas, though,
yeah,
just because he is the guy, especially down the stretch, Mr. Fourth Quarter, if you want to call him. I'm sure he calls himself that. I actually think he has a tattoo across his chest, Mr. Fourth Quarter. But he's been lights out, and really that team has revolved around him. If you look at Al Horford, I was checking out some of his numbers. He's played 1,000 less minutes to this point than he had all of last season.
Wow.
He has a long way to go. He has 400 and change less shot attempts, so he is not an integral part of this offense. And I think if you drafted him based on name value alone and what he had done in Atlanta, you were highly disappointed this season. Talk to me a little bit about Michael Fulmer. We'll just change gears a little bit. He sprained his ankle in spring training doing an agility drill, and he will not be participating in the second round of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, and he was scheduled for a start today, so it doesn't seem too concerning, but obviously when you're hearing about rumors how he might not play in World Baseball Classic, you know what, for me, that's just, if people look into this, you know, pretty deeper, then they're just going to see him fall down the draft charts, and maybe you can get him at a bit of a discount. As you see there, a pretty good first full season from him last year, 7K per nine, fewer than 3 walks per nine. Didn't really get in trouble with the long ball, so, you know, obviously you see the AAA numbers there, the K per nine. He is legit when he's striking guys out. But keep an eye on the situation because, as you mentioned, rolled the ankle. He could miss a few starts. He can miss a couple more. So, again, we're going to start to hear some of these baseball pitchers come in and out of the lineup over the next couple weeks before.
Don't forget, pitch. Though, AL Rookie of the Year in 2016.
Yeah.
So, you know, he does have the stuff. They did say that during this season and during spring training in particular, he wants to work on his fastball command because he has been a little loosey-goosey with it. But that's usual for a young pitcher. I think, though, Chris, for me, if you're someone that's targeting Fulmer, if you believe in him, it's good news that he's missing the World Baseball Classic because he came out and said that last year, because it was his first year, he came into spring training already at 100% and really looking forward to just to proving himself at that time. He said this year he kind of took it back a little bit, hasn't pitched as many bullpens and wanted to use spring training to get ready for the season. So you don't want him out there at the World Baseball Classic throwing his guts out,
no,
potentially injuring more than his ankle.
There's a lot of players that, you know, I don't want to see in the World Baseball Classic. Classic. I mean, good for them, but I mean, I especially pitchers, I don't want them to be taxing their arm. I mean, if they pitch, you know, more in April and May than they would normally, then are they going to pitch that much in September? Are they going to be gassed? So, I mean, it's just a different way to look at it for sure. And then Lance McCullers, one of my favorite pitchers last year. He's a boom or bust play, Ashley, because he's got wicked stuff. But then you have that elbow injury, and he hasn't pitched yet this season. He's done a couple bullpen sessions. He's scheduled for his first start on Thursday. So that's good news if McCullers is on your radar. NFBC, 32nd pitcher off the board for Fulmer and 45th pitcher off the board for Lance McCullers. He's got wicked stuff. The K per nine, as you see there, 11.78, but he struggles with the walks. You mentioned Fulmer. McCullers has some command issues as well.
Yeah, and they said that he's working on adding a third pitch because he has that fastball in the 90s, that curve that you talked about, mid-80s. But they're working on a changeup to really try and complete himself and maybe put a little bit of less stress on his arm. I usually don't use advanced stats in baseball just because it's not my jam, it's not my wheelhouse.
Fair.
But when he was healthy, his FIP, which is just a more accurate version of ERA, was second best in the American League. So this guy, the real deal. It's going to be exciting to see what he brings to the table this season.
Ashley came to play today.
Yeah. First day back, can't come in sandals with sand in your feet.
Stats, I love it. This is great.
Be quiet. Zach Britton quickly, oblique injury. Let's talk about him. We have about 30 seconds.
I mean, quickly, he's supposed to pitch today off half mount, I guess full mount on Wednesday. And over the weekend, if everything goes well today and Wednesday, he'll face a lot of batters. It's great news for a reliever who's coming top three off the board.
Yep.
Only give up 14 fly balls, according to Gary and Thorne, which is a wicked stat. Unbelievable. He's got like an 80% ground ball rate. Like, it's not
according
true.
According to Gary and Thorne.
Sometimes Gary just has these stats you can't find out. It's just like, yeah, alternative stats. Yeah. Good stuff there. Zach Britton, don't worry about him. He'll be all right.
All right, we're not going to worry about anything until we talk to Dr. A and get his insight from Inside Injuries. That's coming up on the other side of the break on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Now, as we know, Chris, injuries are a part of life. Although you can't draft and make decisions based on fear rooted in those injuries. But what you can do is talk to Dr. A of Inside Injuries and see if there's certain projections that he has that might make you weary of a player, because this guy, the Inside Injuries, is the real stuff, the real deal.
The real deal. Dr. A, thank you for taking the time to join us. We're going to talk about a lot of baseball players with you, but I really just wanted to bring up Joel Embiid with you again, because last week when we talked, you had said, you know, you thought this injury was more significant than what Philadelphia was saying, and it turns out it is. I mean, the meniscus tear is actually worse than thought, and he's done for the season. I guess I just want to know your take, because you were talking about some of your algorithms for Embiid, the time he's going to miss.
Yeah.
I mean, how much time is Embiid going to miss? We know the trust the process in Philadelphia. Is this guy going to have to go another full year before we see him play 30, 40 minutes ever?
Well, you know, the one thing with Embiid that is definitely the case is the fact that, you know, he's had a grade 4 foot injury before, and now on the opposite knee, he has a meniscal tear. It's worse than expected, so he will likely require surgery. The team currently is saying that they're going to wait to see how his bone bruise heals. However, you know, most likely he will require surgery, and a surgically repaired meniscus will take a minimum of 6 months to heal, and you know, he should be ready by next season. However, as you can tell, you know, he's a very high injury prone player just by his style of play, and you know, there's a high recurrence of this type of injury in this player.
That's really disappointing. Out of his 3 years in the NBA, he's now only played half a season, a little bit more than that. In your opinion, I know it's kind of speculation because you haven't treated him, but a meniscus tear on his left knee after right foot injuries over the past 2 years, is this something that's maybe because of compensation?
You know, I don't think it's because of, you know, sort of conscious compensation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think our body naturally decides to compensate a little bit without even, it's sort of on a subconscious level. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do think that there was a little bit of favoring of the other side. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just what happens when you have one serious injury. Another body part will get injured. It's just an increase in incidence that's proven in medicine. So, and his injury risk is very high. And even when he comes back from this type of injury, his injury risk will probably remain in the 20 percentile range. Right now it's 27%. I don't see it falling a lot lower than that.
And someone else that I guess you could say his injury was bound to happen, David Price, if you're going to be pitching for 1,600 innings, throwing 26,000 pitches, you've only ended up on the DL one time. A UCL injury shouldn't be a huge surprise, but David Price and Boston are quite worried. They actually went to the NFL Combine to see Dr. James Andrews, a name we all know is synonymous with very serious injury. They opted, though, no surgery, just rest to see what happens. What do you think's going on there?
So there's a couple of translational items that everyone should know about. The fact that he's not had any PRP injections is a good sign. The fact that the ulnar collateral ligament is not partially torn even. So usually the PRP injection route heals a partially torn ulnar collateral ligament. So the fact that is the UCL is likely not torn at all, and it's likely inflamed. So it does require just some rest and, you know, sort of see how it heals. But, you know, this is a recurrent, you know, you guys mentioned, you know, the fact that he's had a bunch of innings pitched over his career. So now at his age, this type of injury will start to spike. And, you know, but the good news for him is the fact that there's likely not a partial tear. The fact that he's declined to take PRP injections, he will need some rest, and then after that rest is completed, he should be back to peak health. But don't be surprised if this injury, you know, sort of reveals itself over and over again over the next few years.
What, like, what's 7 to 10 days? I mean, that's what he's scheduled to have, 7 to 10 days of rest. I mean, what is that really going to do for him? And do you think that after those 10 days, there's a legit possibility that he's just 7 to 10 more days or 14 to 21 days? Like, what do you think is really the timetable that we see him pitching?
Yeah, and you know, the and again, 7 to 10 days is really, you know, saying 2 weeks. A grade one or a grade two ulnar collateral ligament sprain is typically a 2 to 4 week process before you even get baseball ready. So right now, if he does pitch in the next 7 days, you know, he's got a decreased fastball velocity of about 1 to 2 miles an hour, which is huge for him. And he won't be able to really, you know, get advantage of his breaking ball. Right now, he's what our algorithm calls a hanging pitch alert. So he will need at least 2 weeks, in our opinion, to get completely healed, and maybe even three. And then his fastball velocity will be up to where it normally is, and he should have a pretty good breaking pitch after that. You know, the ulnar collateral ligament gets inflamed with a significant amount of torque at the elbow, and that's what happens. And really, you know, like starting pitchers that pitch at the 94, 95 mile an hour range and they have a significant breaking ball, it creates all that torque. So, you know, you must rest that ligament completely before you start to pitch on it again.
The good news for the Red Sox, the good news for Price owners is that it is spring training, so he can get as much rest as he needs.
Yeah, and it's not torn.
Exactly. So.
That hanging alert, though, I mean, that's a pitch that he had a lot. That's not something I want to hear. I mean, yeah. You mentioned right. He got rocked last year. He got rocked a lot. Okay, so he doesn't need Tommy John surgery. Lance Lynn coming back from Tommy John surgery. 4 scoreless innings. I mean, he gave up 1 run, but it wasn't earned over the weekend. 2 hits, 1K. And St. Louis had said they were going to bring him along slowly. I mean, 4 innings off the bat is not slow in any means for spring training. But I saw you tweeting, Inside Injuries tweeting some projections. You guys have a cool tool. What do you project from Lance Lynn? Like, how many innings do you expect him to pitch this season?
Well, again, guys that are coming off of Tommy John surgery, they're certainly going to be on a pitch count. You know, I don't see him passing the 6th inning with a lead this year. But the good news is the fact that he's at a low injury risk at 4%, and he's above 93% in health performance factor. So he has healed completely. You know, 16 months should have a good healing process. So he expect him to be on a pitch count. Expect him not to cross the 6th inning, and highly unlikely for him to get to the 7th inning. But for all intents and purposes, you know, the surgery has gone well. He's healed completely, and, you know, he should be good to go this year.
Doctor, we got to get out of here, unfortunately.
Sure.
But thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again next week, and it was nice to see you again.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, for a tease for next week, I want to talk about Houston Street because we talk about all these pitchers with arm injuries.
Yeah.
When it gets to the lower body, we'll see if the injury risk becomes higher or lower because you don't think about how much they use the rest of their body, but it's all basically one piece, right?
There's some big-time concerns for Houston Street, who's been hurt numerous occasions over the past 3 years. Cam Bedrosian needs to be on your radar because he's going to be closing games for the Angels.
You heard it here first, folks. We're going to switch gears. Coming up on the other side of this break, we'll see you in just a few minutes. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and it is actually RotoWire Week because RotoWire is celebrating their 20th anniversary. So we're kicking things off with a bang. We are talking to RotoWire President Peter Schenke. He's on the line right now. Hello, sir. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Happy anniversary.
20 years. Time, it goes by quick.
66,000 notes is what Chris was telling me that have gone up on RotoWire
from
over
you.
That time from
just for
you
me,
specifically. Yeah. But usually for anniversaries, you kind of give gifts. I don't know if you're maybe gifting anyone during the baseball season.
Nothing too big around here. Just a lot of praise, you know, for a lot of people putting a lot of work over the years. Yeah, I've written 66,000. See, I wrote it down. I had, because we actually keep it all in the database, so it's fun to keep score, right? So 66,136 updates among all the sports. 23,352 among baseball, if you're counting. But I'm not even the leader. There's lots of guys who've written a lot more than me. I wrote a lot in the early days when we first came out. Now we've got a great crew of guys that cover, you know, not just baseball, but another, you know, 12 sports.
You know, how have you seen the 20 years? How have you seen it grow? And talk about maybe the baseball draft kit that people can check out from your website this year.
Well, I mean, just the amount of information is just, you know, it's just gone way beyond what we ever thought. When we first started it 20 years ago, a lot of the information we got was still in the printed paper. And sometimes I'd be walking to work reading USA Today or the Chicago Sun-Times, and I'd find a nugget and type it in information. Even though it had been out there for like 24, 48, 72 hours, it'd be, you know, new to the whole world, and they'd find on our website, it'd be like, Eureka, that's why that guy's not playing. Now that happens in about, you know, 3 minutes via Twitter and everything like that. But at the same time, there's just a lot more info, a lot more stuff to sift through, you know, a lot of things that mean stuff, don't mean stuff. So It's changed, but you know, fundamentally, it's kind of the same thing.
And the reason that you guys are still so important, even though, as you said, that information comes out at the blink of an eye, is because of the analysis, of because of the opinion behind the information, which is not something that everyone can do.
Yeah, I mean, the player notes and the injury notes are fantastic, yeah. Always fresh and up to date. Let's, before we talk about the Twins, Peter, I want to talk to you about David Price, because I saw you tweet about how you have a decision to make in your keeper league. You had about 7 or 10 days to decide if you want to keep David Price. We know reports that he doesn't need Tommy John right now. You just talked about it with Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Looks like he's going to have 7 to 10 days of rest, but there you go, right there's the tweet. Have you made your decision yet?
Well, I'm not, probably not going to keep him. It's a keeper league. I have him for $35. Most aces of his type go between 45 and 60 each year, so it would be a pretty good discount. The reports, you know, it seems positive, but anytime you get something like this before the season and make that big a commitment, do you really want to do it? But the reality is I'm not going to keep him, not so much because of his outlook for his injury or what I think about it, but just as the market dynamics. We saw over the weekend that in AL labor, he only went for $14. Last year he went for $29. He probably would have gone for a little bit more this year, I'm guessing, if he was healthy, because, you know, he had a decent season last year. So, you know, that's about a, you know, two-thirds, half discount. So in my keeper league, I'm expecting that if I throw him back, I can maybe get him for less. But we'll see. You know, it's unfortunately the replacement cost in this league, a keeper league like this, is tough because so many aces are kept. So it's definitely a negative for me. In a way, I almost wish the keeper deadline had passed and then I was just stuck with him.
You didn't have a decision,
you know,
to make.
I would have just taken the gamble and I would have just, that would have been it. But now it's kind of a lose-lose no matter what I decide.
Speaking of a lose-lose situation, the Minnesota Twins.
Wow, she went there.
59-103. Not a great record. It reads more of an age range when you're filling out some kind of government form than a baseball record. No offense, Peter, I heard you're a big fan. But one bright spot, Brian Dozier, a ton of power, nearly broke the record of home runs by second baseman, really coming alive in August to September with the long ball. But is this something, for me, it doesn't sound sustainable, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on him.
Well, in addition to writing all those updates, I've also covered the Twins for RotoWire. So now it's 20 years I've covered them. So, which might be longer than I think it's actually longer than any beat writer out there that exists, although they do way more work in covering than I do. But nevertheless, to Dozier, I mean, it's not, you know, he just went on an incredible tear the second half of last year. He's not going to hit 40 homers again. But I think he's still a pretty bankable guy for a 40 combined homers and steals, maybe 50. And, you know, that kind of combo from middle infielder and second base in the AL especially is tough to come by. So even though he's going to decline, I wouldn't expect such a dramatic drop off that he wouldn't be kind of somewhere between where he was last year, maybe the year before. And that's still pretty good value in the AL.
Peter, a lot of negative talk about Byron Buxton, and I'm really not sure why. I understand 10 home runs, most of them hit in September. I understand he strikes out a lot. I also understand that he's just a kid, and he was taken pretty high a few years ago in the draft. You know, Torrey Hunter, ex-teammate, called him Mike Trout 2.0. What's your expectations from Byron Buxton this season? I know a lot of negative talk around him. Do you think that he can, you know, return value from where he's going in drafts?
Yeah, I think he's a nice sleeper this year. Remember, he's only 23. You know, his seasons where he struggled are 21 and 22. He had 10 homers in September. Hitting 10 homers in any month is a pretty good sign. It's tough to do even if you're a you know, big-time power hitter. So that's really positive. This year, you know, he plays great defense in center field, so he's going to probably stay out there unless he just completely falls apart again. And even then, he still might keep, you know, stay out there. So, and the speed is going to eventually translate into stolen bases if he gets on. I know he's kind of off to a slow start this spring. He's 2-12, but he's only struck out 2 times. And I know this is a ridiculously small sample size, but if that is actually a trend where he's just not striking out as much, I mean, that would be a real benefit for him because that's just been his bugaboo. 35% strikeout rate last year. If he can just get that down, I think he can be a good player. Maybe he won't help you in the batting average. Maybe he'll be more of a power guy where we thought he'd be a speed guy, you know, get on base. But, you know, that would be fine. And remember, this guy is a guy who had at low A in Iowa, the farm team there, the same farm team that Trout was at. You know, he had just as good, if not better, stats at the same age. So, you know, you kind of want to still buy into that kind of track record.
Peter, thank you so much. We got to get out of here, but we really appreciate your time, and we look forward to RotoWire Week going forward. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Take care, Peter.